Welcome to the Butterfly Evolution Show. I want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. I'm hopeful that everyone is ready for this journey because it is a journey, and as they say, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. But I also want to say in reflection of that, renewing the mind is the absolute start of a new life, and I truly believe that, and I challenge each and every one of you, as we do all the time with the topics that we discuss, please, please go back and not just let it stop here. Go back and research for yourself. Go back and think about it. Listen to the show again if you have to. Ask questions on the next show. But this is one of those ones that is truly a keeper. And, again, I truly do believe that it is the start of a new way of life, a new way of thinking. And I think that many things, I reluctantly say all things, but many things start in the mind with our thought process. A lot of things, you know, sometimes we react too swiftly from things without thinking. Sometimes we don't think enough. So if nothing else, allow this topic and tonight's discussion to move you to study the mind, to think about the mind, to think about the things you think about, to think about the things or in your life that what you thought about or what you did not think about, how it affected your life and some decisions that you've made. So this will be a great topic. If you want to take some time now to kind of grab a pen and paper, I will give a number of scriptures out tonight because I just think there's no real way to do this without the Word and without God, because the world is so full of so many things, and the world gives us so many worldly things. Now, we can look at our, well-off people. If money would take all of this and renew our minds, then we'd have a lot of people with renewed minds and probably a lot more people doing a lot better. But money doesn't do it. Things don't do it. People don't do it. Eventually, you get weary and you lose sight even in the midst of having so many things in your life. Sometimes if you don't have that peace of mind and that renewed mind, even those things are not enough. They may get you through. You may feel like they are, but you come back to a place to where of discontent, of unhappiness, of dissatisfaction, of restlessness. So take this time to get a pen, get some paper, because I want you to jot down the scriptures. I want you to ask questions. I'm going to share my, and I should do this all the time, but we run out of time sometimes, but I went to many, many articles on this, so I'll share some of those with you as well so that you can go back and look up some of these things. So without any further ado, I just want to remind you, for those of you who are listening online, remember, I'm going to go ahead and do that because I have not. The chat line is open. So if you do have questions, comments that you want to pose out there, please feel free to do so. If I don't address your question right away, just be patient with me. I will get to it. You do have to be a registered follower in order to submit your question or comment online. So if you have not did that, why don't you just, if you do have a question or something that you want to add to this, just go ahead and call in. And for those of you who are listening by phone, that number, if you want to call in, is 818-691-7406. But if you are listening by phone or plan to do so, you do have to select the number 1 in order for me to be notified, and I'll pull you in. When we get to that section, I'll pull you in for your questions and comments. But if you feel like you're going to have something to add to this, you know, go ahead and select the number 1, and then when we get to that point, I'll start pulling you in. I've mentioned, and I want to go back to this before we get started, because I can't say this enough, and I think this topic is another great time to do this. And I'm talking about the trash can. If you are listening and you have not taken the time to experiment with this, please move your trash can. please move it. It is mind-boggling. It's laughter. It was, well, for me and others, it will literally make you laugh how many times you go back there to where your trash can used to be. It sounds simple, but it really will help you to see and determine how our mind keeps record. So if you can, if your mind keeps up with where your trash is and where you are to go without even thinking, it's kind of like, you know, when the lights go out, we know that they're out. We know that the electricity is out. If the house is dark, what do? We flip the light switch on in hopes or for whatever reason, thinking we're going to get light. And I know every time I do that, it is just as funny as it was the first time I ever remember doing it, thinking I'm losing my mind. But it's just, it's the mind. It keeps up with the things that we do, the repetitious things that we do. In addition to that, it truly does keep up with your past hurts, those things that truly, truly, truly affected you in some way, negatively and positively. But for whatever reason, nature-wise, we tend to hold on to those things that really, really hurt us, affected us, those things that we feel were unjust or people that were unjust to us. Now, that's a choice, of course. I think it is a choice, but the mind does capture those things. So in moving your trash can, I think it will add some joy and some laughter to this because, again, it will make you laugh when you really think about the number of times that you go to where the trash can used to be. So I challenge you guys, please do that, and then share with us. We've had one that I've shared with a friend of mine who she did it, and even I remembered where her trash can was, you know, even though she had told me, and I did it over and over again. You know, I knew where it was, and I knew she had moved it, and I went back there several times. So not only was my mind calculating my stuff, my own stuff, my things, you know, our minds also keep up with or collect what goes on in our loved one's life, in our friends, our family, our children especially. So we really need to think about the mind and start thinking about our thought process and try to understand how we can get control of and control the mind process. So can't say it enough. If you have not gotten your pen and paper, please do so now, and we're going to move forward with the show. And for those of you who do move the trash can this week, move it now. Go move it now. If you can take the time, run and do it now with the phone still to your ear. But when you do, please connect with us Monday and share how many times you went back. So prepare to log in for that. Before moving into tonight's topic, a good question or a good thing to think about, and I can say I've never really thought about the difference in the mind and the brain, but my question or something that I want you to think about as we start the process, do you consider the mind and the brain to be one and the same? I think that's a very important question, at least for me. I thought, wow, I don't know. I really need to think about that because basically I just never really thought about it. I just think I really thought that it's one and the same without thinking that it's one and the same, just never really gave any thought process to it. Now as you're thinking about it, I just want to add a few more things, and I'm going to talk about the brain so that it gives you some kind of disconnect or connect between the brain and the mind. The brain is considered, or the brain is something that can be seen with the eye, and this is the brain. The brain can be operated on the brain can be operated on, but when you think about the mind, is it really tangible? Can you really see it? Can it be operated on? Can it be altered? Can someone physically change it? And as I read that and I thought, well, yes, in a way, and where I went with this is if the brain is damaged, some people lose some memory. They lose some things that were part of their life they no longer remember. Sometimes they don't remember their name or where they're from or even family members. So that puzzled me, and I ended up not being really clear on this, where I really stand. And to go further, some sources explain the mind that it's just another part of the body. and went on, some sources described it, cases of the body, saying the mind or the brain, the mind is just a part of the body. And they basically said it's a guest dwelling in the guest house, which is the body. They're saying that the guest house is the body. And again, I'm just not really sure where I fit in on this. I'm just really not sure, because I've heard people say, you know, that you can, people have lost their mind, but they still have their brain. Their brain still functions. And again, as I said earlier, their minds can be damaged. You know, car accident, brain injury, or head injury can cause a brain injury, and then they lose all memory. So, I'd like to hear some of your thoughts on that, because again, I'm kind of at a loss. And so, what I'll end up just leaving it neutral and thinking they are apart. They certainly are. If they're not the same, they are certainly intertwined or connected in a great way because of how they both can be affected by one or the other, so to speak. But that's something that I just would like for you to think about. You may not come to your conclusion tonight, and that's okay. But as you move along and you start to think about your thought process, think about that, and then think about what you feel about that. And if you want to share what your thoughts are tonight about that, I welcome that. I did do some asking some other people, and this is some of the things, or one of the things that I actually got back when I asked, do you think that the mind and the brain is one and the same? And this person got a little deep, but I'm going to share what their thoughts were anyway. Basically, this person said the brain is physical and the mind is metaphysical. And it says, he said that the mind becomes your conscience, and conscience is between emotional or rational. And rational is basically balanced or normal. So I thought that was interesting. Again, this person said that your mind becomes your conscience, and basically went on to say, you know, your mind collects those things that your body goes through or that you go through in life. And again, I thought it was interesting to hear it put that way, particularly when you go back to saying, again, if the brain is injured, some people lose their memory. And some people lose their mind but still have their brain. So those things were really, really interesting to me. And, again, I'd like to hear what you all have to say on that as well. Now that we've talked about the mind, and hopefully you all have some better understanding of that, let's talk about transformed or being transformed and then also renewing. And you all know that I like to give some definitions of words. So transformation or being transformed, what does that mean? Transform is basically altered and change or change. It means basically the same thing. And you know, for this show, Butterfly Evolution Show has always talked about change. We have to change. We have to change our thought process. We have to change the things that we are used to doing that are getting us nowhere. So change is a very big part of the Butterfly Evolution as we think about what that means and our motto here. So transformed or transformed, basically that altering or change. Let's talk about renewing or renew, and because again the topic is being transformed by renewing of your mind. Renew is basically, and I love these words, refurbish, repair, or restore, all the same things. And if you think about life and you think about your thought process, and fit those words into your lifestyle and think about when you renew, if it means refurbish, repair, or restore, my thought process of that is I instantly thought about a home, someone refurbishing or repairing or restoring a historical home. They're bringing it back to its beauty and sometimes even keeping its natural things or its natural state. A lot of times people will restore old historical homes and try to keep as much intact as possible. So when I thought about renewing and think about life, I thought about, you know, getting me back to that state of childlike, having childlike faith, being a child in Christ and so forth. And that's really about allowing God to take over. So that's why I said a lot of tonight is going to be a lot of scriptures put out. I typically don't usually beat you up with scriptures, but you can hardly get around renewing your mind without scriptures, because again, I don't feel like anyone can do this and do it consistently and wholeheartedly and remain there without God and without God's word. Certainly people can walk around and it appears that they are. But again, a great example is look at all the people, all the famous people, so to say, who seem like they're just chasing the wind, like they just are. They have all the money in the world, all the things. They can get up, they can go, they can do as they please to a certain extent, but they still don't possess that joy. They still seem like they're searching for so much more in life, and that's evident because of what we see going on in their life. They're from marriage to marriage consistently, and you think, what two people that get together who has, you would think, millions and millions of dollars, who has all the time in the world to spend with one another, who can get a babysitter at the drop of a dime, who can go anywhere at the drop of a dime, why are they so miserable? So again, if things could do it, if money could do it, it would be done in a lot of people's lives. So moving along, I want to put out Romans 12 and 2. And this reads, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed." And that's one of the words in tonight's topic. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we have transformed in that, we have renewing in that. And I'm going to read that again. This is Romans 12 and 2. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, what does that mean? First thing, this just basically means God tells us that we have to renew our minds. We need to renew our minds. So basically, he knows what state our mind is in, and know that in order for us to, or one way to think of those things that are good and bring in and acceptable to his perfect will, that we have to renew our minds. So that alone is enough to get started on this after tonight's topic. If it's something that you've never really thought about, but you're at a place of discontent, like you just cannot get it going and make it work. And I think a lot of us either are there or we have certainly been there. And if we're not there now, it is so possible that we will be there again if we truly don't work on changing our mindset, capturing those thoughts that keep us in bondage. So that alone, if nothing else says, the renewing of the mind is necessary. That enough should give you the momentum and the desire to do so. Before going any further, I do want to stop here for just a second, and I want to just, if anybody has any comments, any questions that they want to get in, if anybody wants to comment on what do they think, the mind and the brain is one and the same, please go ahead and select the number one. If not, then I'll just move right along to the next part, my section that I'm going to go through. So the lines are open if you do want to get in on now before we move to the next section. Okay. Let's think about, again, what it means to, what this chapter or this verse, the scripture in the Bible means. And that's, again, Romans 12 and 2. As I just said, it's basically the word tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So it's telling us how to transform, and basically that is to renew our mind. And to think about that, what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And I feel like in order to think about, number one, we have to make sure and tell ourselves and remind ourselves to think about those good things. The word tells us that as well, in this scripture as well. Once you start to think about those things and be transformed, the perfect will of God will manifest in your life. Now, does that mean that we will be without troubles, without trials, without tribulations, without pain? Will people not get next to us? Will people not hurt us? Absolutely not. But once you're in the perfect will of God, or once you're there and you know you're there, maybe I should say that, once you know that you're there and you have that faith and that trust, then the things you go through, you really go through them differently, because you have, at that point, you're going to remember that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. And loving the Lord, some people hear that scripture and they think, you know, they don't put as much meaning, I feel, as they should to, because when you love someone, as we should love Christ, when you love someone, you really work to, and I'll say obey, or to make that person happy. And the way to make God happy, one of the ways, is to obey his word, to put him first. And when you do that, the perfect will of God becomes your perfect will for yourself, because our hearts and our mind have been transformed, been changed. We become more Christ-like. We go back to that child state. So first thing, again, the word tells us that we have to transform, and the way to do that is by the renewing of our mind. Again, the lines are open, and I'm going to keep going if you guys don't have anything right now. How do we renew our minds, and if we continue to live in regret? How do we renew our minds if we continue to live in regret, if we continue to live in guilt and shame? And I call this the shoulda, woulda, coulda syndrome. A lot of us have given up on life, on peace, on happiness. We look around and we see what's going on in the world. We see what everyone else is doing. And sometimes it really does, even when you're in the midst of reading your word daily, praying daily, sometimes it does look like, what am I doing? It looks like you're standing alone sometimes. So even in the midst of that, we're still going to have our ups and downs and our trials and our tribulations. Again, that's when your faith, your trust in God's word, your faith and your hope has to be enough for you at that time. So often we hear or have heard basically that the definition of insanity is basically doing the same thing or things but expecting different results. And I think a lot of that plays into how we think, because we can, as they say, get saved, or we can change our lives by changing the things that we do, and that works temporarily. But if we don't change the way we think, the things that we do will just circle right back around. We'll start doing the same things and thinking the same way that we always have. So, again, you have to even think about changing, just as insanity is explained, doing the same things, expecting different results. If we continue to think the same things and do the same things, are we going to get different results? I don't think so. So that's another saying to just kind of jot down and keep in your journal or keep in your notes tonight, as you process tonight's topic and the things that are shared here. Keep that in mind, that it is a form of insanity, really, to continue to think that we can change our lives without changing the way that we think. That is so important. And again, we don't focus a lot on renewing the mind. I think sometimes we don't even think about our thoughts a lot. And if we do, I think it's at times when we're almost just at our wits' end, and that's when fall into depression and fall into the regrets and wishing that we've got, maybe wishing that we would have gone to school or finished school. We may wish that, you know, we had a husband or a wife, may wish we have children by now. You know, all these things, the shoulda, woulda, coulda. We have to let those things go and just start fresh with where you are with God. Just say, okay, this is a new day. Today is a new day, new time. I cannot live in the past. I cannot change it. I certainly cannot go back and start over. So let's just start fresh today, because God can start with you where you are. I had a book, and I didn't spend too much in this book, but the name of the book was God Always Has a Plan B. And I totally changed I totally changed the name of the book, I guess I should say, for me. And I said, no, I had Plan B. God had Plan A. Plan B was my choice, Plan B, C, D, E, F. And then now I find myself trying to get back to plan A. But still, the book was a great book. But for me, I thought, no, plan B was my thing. I totally missed plan A. And I'm sure we all have. Most of us really have. But thank God that he never leaves plan A for me. That, again, I just changed the title of the book. He doesn't leave plan A, and we can always go right back there, and he starts right where we are, and he can make those things perfect and good. But we do have to renew our mind and spend some time focusing on just being fulfilled with where you are in life and start today. If we don't, you know, if you choose not to, it really is, and you guys have heard me say, it really is like putting a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound. It just won't work. It just will not work. And there's examples of that all around us on the TV, even in our own lives, people we work with. If you just really stop, I know for me, some days I just feel displaced in this world. And someone told me that, you know, a lot of Christians are beginning to feel that way, that we feel like we're just displaced. And I guess I can understand that because, again, I hear so many people say, this is our temporary home. This really is our temporary home. And so I guess in some sense we should start to feel displaced, but there's still so much work to be done. So just keep that in mind as well. Chat lines are open. You guys, don't leave me out here. I know you all have something to say. So please feel free to jump in. I don't want to talk, but I have a lot to say, but I don't want to just keep you all from not sharing yours as well. But I will keep going until you make me be quiet. So let's talk about being in God's perfect will. And as we talk tonight and as you go through your week again, I just really want you to focus on the renewing of your mind and capturing those thoughts. And really commit to giving some thought to your life, your thought process, and the things mostly that you are still holding on to, the things that you are allowing to keep you in bondage in your life. And for me, I just got to a point where I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. I just really got to a point where, to me, I was already, it wasn't about dying. If I continued to live and think like I was doing, I was already dead. Something had to change. And I don't think we always have to get there in order to recognize or start the process of renewing the mind. I think that a lot of us do have to get to that. A lot of us do get to that moment, but we don't have to. You can start that process before you get to the end of your road, so to speak, and just start this journey. Let's see. Number one, again, going back, you have to take responsibility of where you are in life and get past those things that have allowed you to become or be set in bondage. And remember, it does sometimes mean that you have to, I shouldn't say have to, but you will, some friends will drop off, some family members will drop off, and you have to remember that misery does love company. What I mean by taking responsibility, I can say for me, when I started to heal and started to, number one, realize that I did need some healing, that I did need to get through some things and over to even start the process of renewing my mind. Once I realized that, again, I started to make the work toward change, and you do lose people. People do start to disconnect from you because, first of all, and you guys, if you remember Erica Murray's book, Become the CEO to the Power of You, one of the things that she said in her book was, as you start to change, people are going to do two things. They're going to either change with you or they're not going to change with you, and then from there they're going to decide to move on. And they do that in order to stay on their journey. So not everybody is ready for change. Not everyone is going to be acceptable to your wanting to change. I was listening to Steve Harvey, which has really become one of my favorite people. And, you know, you hear things about him, but I really do think we need to lighten up on Steve. he's gone through some of his things, but I really do feel like God is really using him and will continue to do so. And I was looking at him on TBN, I believe it was, a couple of weeks ago, and he had the singer, I guess, actor as well, Tyree, and I don't know Tyree's last name, but he was on there, and he talked about his transformation, and he talked about how friends and family members said to him, "You've changed," you know, and they stopped wanting to be around him. And he was saying, "I thank God. I thank God that they recognized my change." And so as you prepare to go through or renewing the mind, be prepared. Don't really have to be on alert, but be prepared to lose some people, to lose some things, because as you grow and as your mind is renewed and as you are transformed, what will happen is that the things that you want to do will change, the things that, the places that you want to go, the people that you want to entertain, the people that you want to be entertained by, even the things that amuse and entertain you will change. So as those things change, rightfully so, the people, if they're not, if your circle does not want to break away from those things, and it doesn't mean that they're bad things, they're just your interests, because as you change, your interests will change. So be prepared to lose some people, you know, to lose some people. And it is, sometimes it's a lonely, it seems like a lonely state. But again, transformation and anything that's good like that, you kind of have to lose some people in your life in order to get through it. It's no different from, you know, if you're an alcoholic, you're not going to spend your time around people, other alcoholics who are not trying to get off of the alcohol. You have to kind of change your circle and get to that place to where you can go back if you need to. But in most cases, if you are trying to break away from alcohol and you're still trying to remain in your circle, in most cases it will not work. So think about that as you go through, some great analogies and things to use as you start to go through this process. And another thing, you have to have a partner. I think it's just crucial. I have several, and I don't know if partner is the right word for the people in my life, but get someone in your life that you can call on and just say, "I'm having a bad day," and share some things with, and knowing that they're not going to judge you. They're not going to get on the phone and call John Doe and say what you're going through, but you almost have to have someone that understands, and in most cases, it's not bad to have someone that's ready to go through the change as well. I think in my case, I do believe I have both now. God has just recently blessed me with a friend in my life, and she's just been wonderful to talk to and help me through some things as well. But it's also good to have, I call them maybe a spiritual mom in your life, someone that you can call on and have a couple of them. So as you go through these things, you have to have somebody in your life that is going to be there to help you maintain or stay on the road, and then hold you accountable, and then give the word to you. You know, give it to you straight, because you cannot do it alone, and you certainly cannot do it without the word. The lines are open, you guys, so feel free to jump in at any time. I'm going to keep going until I'm going to check the chat line as well. Let me do that. Okay, I want to go through just a few things that this is basically things that remind us again of why we need to renew our minds, and these are things straight from the Word. Romans 1:28 just tells us that we have a depraved mind to do things which are not proper, and depraved just means immoral, corrupt, wicked. So the Word tells us that we in our state, you know, the people that we are, we have a depraved mind. And again, that just means immoral, corrupt, and wicked. So that tells us that there's work to do. And that's why God tells us to become more Christ-like. And the motto of this show is dying to live. And what I think that means, or what that means to me, is the Tammy has to die, me. And there's sometimes I have to remind myself, again, I've shared that with you all as well, that I'm just not going there with you today, Tammy, because even in the midst of reading and praying and studying the word, you are going to have those days, and that's why you have to have those accountability partners to keep you intact or to help keep you intact. Romans 12 and 16, and if I'm going too fast, that was Romans 1:28 that tells us we have a depraved mind to do things which are not proper. So, again, go back and study these things as you go through your week. Romans 12 and 16, Romans is a great chapter, a great book to read and study if you're looking for a book to kind of get into the word. Romans 12 and 16 says that we're haughty in mind, and haughty means that we're proud, arrogant, conceited, self-important. And I'm going to share another scripture with you later that I think just validates this even more. But again, haughty means proud, arrogant, conceited, and self-important. And haughty, that verse again, Romans 12 and 16, says that we're haughty in mind. Our minds are set on earthly things. Boy, is that, I mean, that's just kind of right to the point. That's Philippians 3 and 19. Our minds are set on earthly things. Our mind and conscience are defiled. And remember, I talked about conscience when I was describing to you, or we were talking about the brain being a part of the mind, or how is it intertwined or connected. But this says our mind and conscience are defiled, and that's Titus 1 and 15. And if we add all these things to life, just think about, you know, all these things. This is the word telling us already what the mind is. Add to this, or take into perspective, you know, how we were brought up, the things that we've seen as or went through as a child, the educational system, society. What does society tell us today? I mean, I'm just appalled. I was telling a friend last night, it is just, I don't know why I pay for cable. There is absolutely almost nothing ever to watch, and they keep or continue adding reality shows. There's at least three more. Every time I feel like every time I watch the TV, there's at least two or three more that they are setting up to come on, and I'm wondering, okay, pretty soon that's all that's going to be on here. And I'm sorry, there's just enough reality in my own life that I don't have time to keep up or try to figure out your reality. But I think so many people go to that because they, well, this reminds me of a young girl that told me that she reads the, and I think I shared this long, long time ago, that she reads and keep up with the soap opera magazines, and I don't know if I'm saying that right, but these kind of stars, the magazines that talk about the stars, that she reads these and she keeps up with them because it makes her feel better about her own life. And I remember hearing that, and I remember thinking, that is really sad. I kept hearing those words come from her mouth even days later, weeks later, to the point I had to go back to her and say, you know, that really, really bothered me when you said that, because she's a wife, she's a mother of two young children. And so I felt like if she feels that bad about her life, what is she teaching her kids? What is she teaching her daughter? You know, and a lot of us have to just really take responsibility of what's going on with these kids today as well. What have we taught them? What are we teaching them by the way that we live, by the way that they see us trusting and having faith in God? We do have a caller, so I'm sorry I got going and didn't notice. We have Miss Earlene online with us.
Yes, hi, Tammy. I just wanted to say a couple of things about that. I was just really just thinking about what you were saying. And I think to say that we need to renew our minds is gosh, I think we have to get to a point where we recognize the need, where the need is to renew. Because sometimes it can be, you know, that can be kind of overwhelming. It takes a little time to say, where do I need to renew? There are so many areas. I mean, all of us can say, you know, I want to change. I want to be different. I want things to change in my life. But where? Where do you want the change? Because when we simply say, I want to renew, and we don't take the time to analyze and find those specific areas in our lives, that need to be renewed. I mean, the things that need to be changed, and it takes the time to surrender to one, as you mentioned. It's not an easy thing. I mean, it's not something where you just simply say, I want to renew my mind and I want to change my life or my thinking in some way and feel that it's just going to come to you. It takes work. I mean, it actually takes work to do that. You've got to do some analyzation. You've got to, there is some surrendering, as you mentioned, to God's word. I mean, you need some help in doing this. Sometimes it can come from your friends and the people. And sometimes we do have to simply say, Lord, you know, show me those areas that need to be renewed. Sometimes we want to blame other people for things in our lives that we say, well, I wouldn't be this way if this person wasn't this way. Or I wouldn't have done this if this person would do this. If they would change, then I would change. And then sometimes we have to understand that the change has to come from within us first. We can't always blame, because if we continue to do that, you won't have the renewal. What you'll do is you'll change a little bit, but you'll always go back and revisit. There's always a revisiting done, but if you don't do that, because it's not complete. So I just kind of wanted to say that, as you mentioned, it's not an easy process, and I think there are times throughout our lives where we will have to go back, and it doesn't just always happen one time and that's the end of it. I think it's like forgiveness. Sometimes you've done it and then something will happen and you'll have to go back and say, have I really forgiven? Have I really made that change? And I think it's a process. But the first thing, when you recognize the need, whatever area that you need the change, you need the renewal. And then when you do that, what other areas that this is in? Everything about my life doesn't need to change all the time.
Right.
You know, I think there are people where there are a lot of different things. But if you just say, I just want to change, you've got to specify. You've got to decide these are the areas where the change needs to occur. These are the areas that need to be renewed. This is where my mind needs to be renewed. I mean, and you find out what form it comes in, because usually comes in the form of attacks on your life, whether it's fear or worry or unforgiveness, or those type of things. Find those areas, and then you begin to work on them, and sometimes it could be several. Then it just could be one. Then when you recognize that, then you surrender to getting it done, and that's the willingness to say, I'll do what is necessary to make this happen. It's not easy.
You're so right, and as you said that, it made me think about how the very thing, and I'm sure so many people can relate to this, but for me, it seems like the very thing that, and we always know, I think, that kind of eats at us. It's like those very things. For instance, if you leave the house and you're late, you're running late, doesn't it seem like everybody before you is driving 5 miles an hour? It's
absolutely.
Just like those things that, and so if forgiveness or distrust or fear is your thing, if this is one of the things that causes you, you know, not to live freely and to not trust God and faithful and things like that, it seems like those are the things that you have, that you are exposed to. Those are the things that keep coming before you. It just seems, I don't know if it just seems that way or if this really happens, but for me, it just really seems like, again, if I leave the house and I'm running late and I really got to be somewhere, everybody seems to be driving 5 miles an hour and they're on the phone and they're turning as if they're walking, you know, it's just like they're walking the turn out. And sometimes I just have to stop, think, and laugh, because it's funny sometimes, but it didn't used to always be, because I used to really have road rage bad, but thank God I can say I'm overcoming that. But that was just one of the things that used to just always bother me, you know.
So, it's almost like you're asking, because I have done this, and asking God for patience, and you think that it's just going to be one of those things where you just zap with patience. What usually happens is the circumstances, you come across circumstances where you have to use it enough, and usually those things where you're having to use the patience, you're thinking, well, gosh, I mean, I didn't want this in my life. I mean, but what other ways are you going to have that experience where you need to use that patience? I mean, it's just that with anything else, the same thing I think with the renewing of your mind. When you work on those things, situations will happen in your life to make those changes. It's a progressive thing. It's not
right.
Just like I'm going to do it tomorrow. Certain situations, certain experiences will happen where you're having to progress to the point And then you finally get to a point where you look back and you see where you can, where you've come from. You know,
right.
As I think Joyce Meyer says it all the time, I'm not where I need to be, but I'm not what I used to be. You know, I have come a long way. You can go back and see it. I think renewing your mind is a process. It doesn't happen overnight, and it does take work.
It
Thank
does.
You, Tammy.
It does. Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in and always making a comment. Great comment. Okay, and another thing, as Ms. Erling was talking, you know, if just think of it this way. If you wanted to learn how to play the piano or guitar or something, you know, going, let's say guitar. If you were wanting to learn how to play the guitar, you can go buy it, and but you still got to practice. You still have to take lessons or teach yourself or something. No different from my mind. We have to think about, number one, you got to think about being transformed through the renewing of your mind. What does it mean? And how, like Ms. Erling said, how do I do it? What areas do I need to do it in? What areas are really, and take them one at a time. Sometimes take half of it at a time, because sometimes even taking one big thing and trying to get through it is more than enough for us. And can't say enough about having someone in your life that knows you all the way, that you can give it all to. You don't have to hold back, and know that they're going to love you the same, they're going to treat you the same, and they're not going to run and talk about what you're telling them. So keep that in mind. I left off at just think adding those things into your life, like how you grew up, what you went through, what we were taught, society and TV and the things that are on TV now, and to add to that even religion, the way that we were taught to experience God and the relationship that we have with God. Even those things we need to think about and come to learn God for yourself. Don't just go to church and let the pastor give you scriptures and tell you the meanings of these scriptures. Go back home, read your Bible daily, and study God's word so that you can have your own perception of God's word, and pray that God gives you a discerning mind and spirit for his word so that you do understand. I came across this question, and when I read it, it really took me for a loop, and I want to share it with you all. And it goes, if you could be connected, think about this, if you could be connected to a video that showed the world, all of your thoughts, all the things that run through your mind, would you allow the world or anyone, if not the world, if just let's say you're married or you have a significant other or something, or your mom or your sister, you know, somebody, anybody. So it doesn't have to be the world. But if you could be connected to a video that showed all of your thoughts, that would reveal all of your thoughts, would you allow it at any point in your life? Think about that. Would you allow it? And would you allow the world to see it? Or is there one person that you would say, yes, I would let this one person see it? That was a huge question for me, because I thought, boy, would I be in trouble. I just thought, wow. But then I instantly thought about, but wow, God knows all of that. God knows every thought that comes through my mind and through my head and through this process of mine, that God knows it all. And I was reminded of being out with one of my friends, and this was probably a year or so ago when we were out, and there were a group of ladies, probably about 15. It was quite a bit of them, quite a number of them. And they were very loud and very vulgar in language and so forth, till just about everybody in the restaurant was kind of looking. And because they weren't young girls, not that it would have made it any different or better, but you do expect more from older women. So someone went over and said something to them, and it didn't. The conversation didn't go bad. I don't know exactly what they said, but we were close to us and know that they did say something about, you know, what was going on, and they kind of laughed it off. Thankfully, you know, it didn't get ugly. But one of the ladies said she was going on to talk about telling them what church they went to. You know, basically, you know, we're church women. And one of the girls hit her and said, don't say what church we go to. We don't want this to get back to the pastor. And I remember my girlfriend and I sitting there thinking, they don't even think about what God's thinking about how they're acting. They were saying not to let it get back to their pastor. But as I thought about that and just if I could show what was going on in my mind to the world or just to anyone, who would it be? Who would it be if that person could be able to visualize all of my thoughts? That's a deep question. But then coming back to our Savior, the Most High knows everything that we've ever thought about, even the things that we will think about. And still, when I got through with all of that, I was reminded, and still He loves us just the same, and He wants us to be, He wants us just as we are, and He does want us to be transformed. He does want our minds to be transformed. He's given us all of these things through His Word. He's telling us why we need to be transformed, and He tells us how. I mean, He does tell us how. Keep reading. He does tell us how to transform those things. So He's given it all to us. But in spite of all the things that He knows that we think, that we do, He still loves us, and He still wants all of those things. He wants us to think about those things that are good and true, and He wants us to be in His perfect will. He really, really does. Jeremiah 20 tells us that, I think it's 20 and 12, that, you know, that the Lord sees the mind and the heart. And again, I say thank God for that, because if He was just looking at our mind and what we were thinking, I think we'd all kind of be in trouble, or the most of us would be in a lot of trouble. So some good, again, that was Jeremiah 20 and 12, I believe. I think that's where that is, but I know it's in Jeremiah. That's another thing to just kind of write down and keep close, because so many things we hold on to in our minds. And I think a lot of us at some point in time, we don't feel worthy of God's love. We don't feel worthy to get all the things that God promises us in His Word. I just think there's so many things that God has promised us that we are not, we're not getting, that the Word is not being fulfilling in our lives, because, number one, I don't think we really have the faith that those things are to come. Think about how many times you pray for something that you really, if you really be honest about it, you're not even really expecting it to happen. A lot, me included, there's been times I've prayed for something and it has happened and come to light, and I am so surprised and so shocked. And I remember thinking, why am I surprised? I should be praying with expectation and just waiting for it to happen, like almost, you know, not able to sit down waiting for it to happen. But thank God that God does see our heart and our mind. It just doesn't stop with our mind. I'm going to give you, the lines are open again. I'm going to give you a few more things here just to kind of help you get through as you start to process, and I hope you all do start to process this renewing of the mind and how to do it and what to do. And again, get an accountability partner. If you don't have one, you can't get one, call me. I'd be glad to, because you will probably have to be mine again one day as well. I think you never stop needing anybody to get through, because even in the midst of praying and studying, I still have to deal with Tammy. Number one, trust God's word. Again, I've shared with you tonight what God's word says about renewing the mind. So trust His word. Trust that He knows exactly what He's telling you through His word, that our minds do have to be renewed. And I gave you some things of why. I shared with some things because he's telling us in the Word how our minds are in its natural state. We're just corrupt, basically. So we have to die to ourselves. Secondly, have faith in God's Word. I told you earlier that this is going to be a night, because I don't feel like, I know in my own life, I cannot be transformed by myself. No money will make it work. No husband. No house, no car, none of that keeps you where you should be. I always fall back to God's word. I always fall back to a place, that's where I find my most peace. So have faith in God's word. And you have to read God's word and study God's word in order to know all this, to trust it, to have faith in it. You got to know it. So you got to stay in His word. And a lot of people don't put a lot of focus on this, but you got to keep hope. You got to keep hope alive. Hope is very, very important. And if you were asked to explain what hope is, I mean, I really challenge you all to start looking up words, even the most simple words, such as hope. And when you look it up and it gives you other words, like hope means to look forward to expect, to anticipate. So, again, if you have hope, if you have, number one, if you trust God, you have faith, you're reading the word, and you have hope, that means you are looking forward to, you're expecting God's word to come forth, and you are anticipating. Because there's one thing, God does not fail. He cannot fail. God's word does not return void. It does not. So we should look forward to, we should expect, we should anticipate. Okay, so think about that, and if you're not doing that already, start doing that in your life. Start tonight. Start in the morning. And again, as I shared, think about how many times you've prayed for something and really, really, really just not expecting it to happen. You just pray because that's what we are told to do. And again, in my life, I know that that has happened to me many times. I've had answered prayers, and I'm really shocked, and that's a bad thing to say, but I'm working on it. You have, number four, you have to be honest with yourself. And Ms. Erlene touched on that a lot as well. You have to be honest, and you have to be willing to recognize that there is a need for renewal in your mind. Also, to determine where to start. And that's just by, you know, this is one of the times that you do want to roll the tape back. You do want to say, okay, you want to tap in to those past hurts, those failures, those disappointments. And I said it earlier, I call this the shoulda, woulda, coulda syndrome. I shoulda did this. I should not have did this. I shoulda finished school. I shoulda never got married. I shoulda not gotten a divorce. I shoulda never had kids. I shoulda had more kids. I shoulda gone here. I shoulda taken this job or change this, something. There's always something that you should not have done or you should have done. But you cannot change those things. You cannot. So start here. Acknowledge those things that, get them out of the way. Say, okay, I wished I had, I should have, I could have, but I did not, and so here is where I am starting today. The fifth one is you have to commit to the work that is needed to renewing the mind. I cannot say enough, and Ms. Erlene said it as well, it's not a party. It's typically sometimes a lonely place to be, but it's a great place to be, a great place to be. And if you really think about it, the crowd is just the crowd. Typically, when you're in the crowd, you're just one in the crowd. Very few people want to stand out and be different, think differently, and do differently. But determine to be one of those people and allow people to see the change in your life, because you'll get to the end where people see that you've changed. They recognize that you've changed, and they don't recognize it as a bad change, that you're losing your mind, that you're going crazy, and that sort, that they really see that you have progressed and moved forward in your life. And that's what renewing the mind will do for you. And again, I can't say it enough, get an accountability partner. Get someone that you can call on, that you can depend on, and that you can share some things with, because you cannot do it alone. I cannot say enough, again, if you have not read CEO to the Power of You, and that's the, we did a show with Ms. Erica Murray about that, and it's again CEO to the Power of You. If you've not read that book and if you've not listened to that show, please go back and listen to it. You know, she talks even in that book about the mindset changing your life, and that, you know, you will lose people, and it is kind of a lonely journey sometimes, because again, people will either decide to change with you and join on, or they will decide, you know, you're crazy and you're losing your mind, and they do that so that they can stay on their journey. Okay, so cannot say enough about that. The lines are open. I'm going to keep going. And I'm not going to keep you guys much longer, but there's a few more things that I really want to get through. just so that for those of you who are planning to just really take this on and think about and start to think about your mind and not giving up on life, because, again, I really do feel like a lot of us are just, we've given up. The world will make you do that. So much going on in the world. I was reading today, and I don't know how true it is because it was kind of at the last minute I was reading, where teenagers set a young black male on fire. They're saying it was a hate crime, and it was teenagers that set. It was conflicting on the age. One story said he was 13. One said he was 16. And they're saying that it was a hate crime. They poured gasoline on this young boy and set him on fire. Now, me being a mom, having a young male, and what I'm told or what the story says is that the young fellow was just walking home from school, and these kids, they were white, and they said it was a hate crime, that it's being investigated as a hate crime. Well, I cannot understand that. I think about that, and I come from a time where, seeing Brandon, and I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this, but from a time where seeing him as a young man growing up where he didn't want to see people leave animals on the road that have been ran over. He felt like, I remember him saying if it was a body, everybody would be going crazy. And he just, have compassion for people where these kids today, they will drop an adult in a heartbeat. But think about where we are if kids are performing hate crimes and setting young people on fire. So as I talk about that, what I say is this world is cruel. This world will make you give up, and it will make you draw back and say, there's nothing I can do. I can't change my life. I can't change anybody else's. But you can. It starts with you. If you can change and then one person grabs hold to your energy and you help that person change, it's worth it. There's no heaven is here on earth. I really believe that. I've not always believed that, and you'll hear people say that. I've heard people say that, Christians are supposed to suffer here on earth and we're going to get everything when we get to heaven. I'm sorry. I just feel like heaven is here on earth. If I'm here and God is within me and all things work together for those who love the Lord and that he gives his heart's desire, I can't see that I have to suffer. Now, I'm not saying that I don't have to go through things here. Certainly not. But I just don't think, again, that we are truly experiencing the presence of God. And I say we. I add myself to that equation as well. But keeping going and renewing your mind, I think, what this will help you do, and certainly in all areas of life, and I just got through talking about, it basically will help you survive in a world like today. It will, although I see these things going on, I'm less fearless of what things go on in the world today. Even with my own son, I really used to be so fearful for Brandon to be out. And not saying I don't worry about him even sometimes now, but it is nothing like it used to be. And I think that's just because God gives you more peace about it. So it helps you kind of get through this world. It helps you in relationships. It helps you maintain healthy relationships. Because if you're a healthy, complete person, just think, if you're renewing your mind, if you're not a person who trusts, how are you going to have a relationship? How? If you're not a person that can take things that don't take everything to core, everything someone says you take it personally, then that's things you need to learn to renew and get over, because it stems from something that has happened to you. You could be a negative person, everything, something's wrong with everything and everybody. That has to be fixed. You cannot stay in a relationship and be happy. So people can certainly stay in one, and they can even appear to be happy. But Lord, if we knew, just like if someone can play your mind back, boy, if someone could just play what goes on behind closed doors in a house, I wonder how many people allow that to be played in the world. And we got all these reality shows, but you just bet, you please know that that's acting. A lot of that is acting, and they're going to do whatever it takes to get you coming back. And I think sometimes we get more than we should, and sometimes we don't get what we should. So it helps you to maintain healthy relationships. And add to that, it helps you draw to healthy relationships. Tika used to say this a lot. You know, he was my medicine. I think it was some song that she heard, but he was my medicine for as long as I was sick. And I cannot think of who sings that song, but I remember the first time hearing her say that, and I just, you know, I kind of laughed. But, you know, when you're not renewed and when you are so stuck in the past, people, relationships can become your medication. And your medication doesn't work. You've been prescribed the wrong medication. It helps you be a better person, a complete person, mother, wife, friend. And, again, that all goes back to relationship. Certainly, it helps you live more freely and eliminates fear. I think I just talked about that, just the fear of Brandon being, you know, here or being out. I just don't have those worries like I did. And that's just, I give the credit all to God and my growth. And you learn to grow through things that you go through, good or bad. You just learn that, because, again, that's about trusting God's word and knowing. So you do learn to grow through those things and just trust that all things work together for those who love the Lord. And, then, again, loving the Lord means being obedient to his word. Now, does that mean you're going to be perfect? Absolutely not. But that does go back to what I said, that God looks at or sees the mind and the heart. So he knows that you are your heart, you have a heart for God, you have a heart to please him, but it does come a time where you have to start working that heart or working that desire. You know, a lot of people have that heart, but they're not putting it to work. That's like, you know, you can have a car, but you can crank it up, you can put it in reverse, but if you don't press the pedal, you're not going anywhere. If you don't press the go, you're not going anywhere, but it's still a car. It will still get you where you want to go, but there's something you have to do. You have to crank it, put it in drive or reverse, and you have to press the pedal. And then there's things you have to do when you drive it. If there's a stop sign, you have to stop. To turn left, you should put your signal on. So just start thinking of things. I am good for just taking things out of perspective and trying to put them, make them a little lighter for me to understand and to get through them. So, again, the lines are open. I'm almost finished up here. I want to give you a few more verses and just a few more things to take on this week and move forward. Psalms 37, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I think all these scriptures are tying right back into loving the Lord, being obedient to his word, because if you are, then you are delighting yourself in the Lord. That means you are reading his word, you are studying, you are working to change your life. You're not, you know, some people think that I go to church, I go up and confess that I'm ready to be saved, and that's it. Nothing else I have to do. And a lot of preachers preach that there's nothing else that you have to do. Just volunteer, come to church, pay your tithes, and you're good. You're good. But a lot of people are doing that and, again, not experiencing the true joy of God. So I can remember looking at people, and I hope I'm never this person, but I'm sure I have and sure I will be again. But, you know, sometimes it's just in such great numbers. And I'm sure people look at us and think, or look at Christians and people that, you know, say they have the Lord and think, gosh, if that's what it is, I don't want any of it. Because we're always down, we're always complaining, or it seems, always down, always complaining, never grateful, never thankful, and we have so much to be thankful for. People are homeless, people are without jobs, people don't have cars, people don't have food. So there's always something to be thankful for, and that's a part of renewing the mind as well. I had to do that very same thing this week. Just reminding myself of how blessed I am in an area of my life rather than complaining about it, just reminding myself of how blessed I am and how God has truly given me the desires of my heart in some areas of my life. And just because he hasn't in some of those other things, and they may, I think that they're desires of my heart, but God knows best. So, again, that's about trusting God and having that faith. So, to end up, I want to just give you a few more things to take for this week, and then I'm gonna end the show. one thing, and this is, I said earlier that I was going to give you a scripture that would, let me go back, talking about haughty in mind, and haughty meaning arrogant, conceited, and self-important. And this is from, I believe, 2 Timothy, one of my favorite books. And basically this is where the word tells us to not be naive and warns us that in difficult times, or there will be difficult times ahead, and as the end time approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck-up, profane, contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog, unbending, slanderous, impulsively wild, savage, ruthless, bloated, windbags, addicted to lust, and allergic to God. The word tells us that, and I believe it's 2 Timothy, but you guys can look it up, you know, for yourself. And people will show a religion, but behind the scenes, they are animals. And it goes on to say, you know, from such people, stay away from. And they appear to be godly, to have a godly life, but they will not let his power change them. So that's basically having a form of godliness but denying God's power, which is, again, I think, is where a lot of us as Christians are. We are truly denying all those promises and the things that God has, the power that God has given us. So things to take forward this week is, I've already given you a few. I want to give you another scripture, Philippians 3:13, and I believe it starts 13 through 15 or 16, and I'm going to paraphrase it. Focus on what lies ahead. Again, the word tells us that we need to renew our minds, and it does tell us how. But I don't want to give you everything tonight. I want you to search for yourself, but that's Philippians, and I believe it's 13 through 16 or 15 is what you should read. But it basically is saying focus on what lies ahead. And 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, take captive every thought, and make it obedient to Christ. And I think that says a lot. Number one, it tells you to recognize your thoughts. Be reminded of where your thoughts are taking you. What kind of thoughts? Are they good and pure, like God saying, think of those things that are good. And then make them obedient to Christ. If they're not, make them obedient to Christ, so that they will get you through the renewing of the mind process. And again, it is something that we have to create daily. You have to think about this daily. You have to get up in the morning and put on the whole armor. And then even then, sometimes you're going to need that accountability friend. Even when you think you've got up, prayed, read your Bible, listened to your spiritual music, even then sometimes you are going to get the best of you. So that's where that accountability partner comes in and can help you through. And, of course, have one, have two. And in closing, remember to pray and read God's word daily. I suggest start with, if you're not a reader of the Bible, start with Proverbs and Psalms, you know, little Proverbs and a little Psalms if you want to switch days. And then we have to take better care of ourselves. This is an area that I need to grow in. I don't nearly do as much as I used to, but, you know, eat better, exercise for sure, you know, take walks. A friend and I guess about 2 weeks ago, we both were just kind of feeling down and in the dumps, and we met at Shelby Farm and went for a walk. And as I walked and just saw the trees, the wind, the sun, and I just told her, I said, you know, God gives us everything we need. That walk, I told her, this walk feels like someone has injected me with medication. So just getting out, conversating, in experiencing the weather was beautiful, the sun was out, you know, a little breeze. Get out, you know, if you're feeling bad, don't put sweats on and get under the cover and turn the TV on. Get out. Just say, you know, not today. Get out, if you just go walk through a Walmart, get out. Go for a drive. You don't even have to get out your car. Just do something. Don't waddle in your mess. And again, be mindful of your thoughts. The verse that I just gave you tells you to take every thought captive and make it obedient to God. Don't worry about what others think about you. Again, they're going to say you're losing your mind, you're crazy, you're changing. Well, you are. That's the whole purpose. Renewing the mind, the purpose of it is to change, is to become more Christ-like, to be in the perfect will of God. And to some people, many people, that's not a pretty sight. It should be, because churches are full on Sunday, but few people are experiencing God. They're going, but few are experiencing true relationship with God. Don't try to impress others. Just be who you are, because, again, God knows. God doesn't have to play that video. You don't have to play that video of every thought that's gone through your mind. He already knows. He knows the ones that you don't know you're going to think. So you don't have to impress anybody, no one. Can't say it enough, spend time with yourself. If you've never, there's people that I know that they've never been to dinner alone, won't go to a movie alone. I will go almost anywhere alone. I'm just not feel for that way. And take a book. If you feel like, just take a book, strike up a conversation, do something, but start doing some things with you. And you do that because eventually you'll have to, because, again, as you renew your mind, people are going to come and people are going to go. Can't say enough about reading. Read more. Have some great books that I would recommend. So if any of you want to contact me, I'm planning on starting a book club in the next few months, and I'll share more about that. But read more. Start going out and reading more. That's a good thing. If you're down in the dumps, you can go to Barnes & Noble. You don't have to buy the book. You can go in and just get the book off the shelf and start reading it. Take your paper and make notes. It's a good way to get out of your rut. And then, can't say enough, lastly, eliminate guilt, shame. That is, again, the shoulda, woulda, coulda. Don't worry about what you should have done. Don't worry about what you could have. You can't change it now. Start. What can you do now? What can you do today so that you don't have to say that 5 years from now? If you want to go back to school and in 5 years you're going to be saying, I should have gone back to school. Well, do it now. And then in 5 years from now, you would have gone back and you would have gotten through that one. Do it now. So in closing, find a way to remind yourself to have a godly attitude, godly goals, godly opinions, and desires. And just stay in your word and really learn to love yourself first and have some peace with your past, and accepting God and trusting God for your future. I want to cite, and the lines are open, so if anybody have anything, we have a few more minutes to go here. ChristInYou.net is a great, great resource. I was able to read and got a lot from ChristInYou. ChristInYou.net is a place that I got a lot of information from, so much so I'll be visiting that website again on a number of things for personal things. And then there's another one, robertwells.tripod.com. Again, robertwells.tripod.com. And some books from my sources, of course, the Bible, and hopefully all of you have that. CEO to the Power of You, Erica Murray. The Power of Letting Go, that's by Pam Redovept. It's her name, and that's a great one, The Power of Letting Go, 10 Simple Steps to Reclaiming Your Life, Overcoming Frustration, Worry, Disappointment, and Painful Wounds, another great one. And again, The Power of Letting Go. And another one, When Your Past is Hurting Your Present, Getting Beyond Fears That Hold You Back, and that's by Sue Augustine, When Your Past is Hurting Your Present. And lastly, the Holy Bible is the verses, and you can Google the renewing of the mind, and so much is out there to help you get through it. And you can always reach me logging in to the Butterfly Evolution site. You can send me a message straight from there, and I'll get it. If you want to hear about these resources again, or if you have some questions, or if you can't find your accountability partner, send me an email. Thank you all for listening. And before I go, the lines are open, so if anybody does have anything, feel free to get in and let me know. Hope you've learned something from tonight. Hope you took notes tonight. And I just challenge all of you, remember, move your trash cans. If you didn't do it when I started, go do it right after here. Just move it and see where you go in the morning to put your trash away. And then let that be a reminder of how our mind keeps records. And Lastly, really think about, is your brain and your mind the same? And I'd like to hear what you guys have to say about that. Send me an email on that and on how many times that you move your trash can. Thank you all for listening to tonight's show. It's been great. Hopefully, again, you wrote down some things and you're going to take them and make them work for you throughout the week. And I hope that you are very successful in renewing your mind, because it is life-changing. It is a process, so prepare for the process. It is a bumpy road, but it does smooth out, and you look back and you realize that you're not going over as many bumps as you were, and the bumps that you are going over, they seem really smooth. So love you all. Thanks for listening, and looking forward to tuning in next week. I do want to share one quick thing. I actually have three couples already, but going on location with couples, we're going to be doing a series called Making Love Work, and these are couples who are really, really making love work, not couples who are just, you know, going in the house looking as if they are, not enjoying one another's company. Doesn't mean that they're perfect and they don't have disagreements and they don't some days feel like, why am I here? But at the end of the day, they love one another and they're committed. They're not turning their backs to one another because of an argument. These are couples who are really, really making love work and really willing to be honest about their trials or troubles and everything that they go through. So if you know of someone, unfortunately, well, I do prefer that they're in Memphis. The few that I have now, the three that I have now, they are in Memphis. And I'd like to have, I said four, but I think I'd like to have about six, and it will be a diverse crowd. So if you know someone in the Memphis area, for those of you who are listening in here in Memphis, or if you know someone here and you're not here, you know, send them my way. And in addition to that, we're also going to go on location with our young people, looking to start that in April, the month of April, for the married couples, and then probably the month of May for the young people. So if you know some kids, and for the kids, from time to time, we'll probably add some people on, some children, even if they're not here, we could bring them on. I have a few in mind that I do want to get in on that. And then later on, we're going to go to our college kids. We're going to go on location. I've been in connect with someone here, and hopefully they're going to help me get a group of college kids up to where we meet, and we're able to discuss what they're going through. So be in prayer for the show and for the things that will and the people that will help. We got to start talking about what's going on in our communities. We got to start talking about what's going on, you know, even in our homes. You know, you got to start sharing so that you can get some help. Don't allow things to stay the same. So, and that does take work. It does take prayer, and it won't happen overnight, but thank God it will. So thank you all again for listening, and that concludes our show tonight. And I hope you all have been blessed by it and will take some time to grow from tonight's topic. Thank you, and have a great night.